Welcome, we are in Maseches Tainis, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, 12 lines from the top, Amar Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara is going to address a situation where an individual inadvertently adds a haskara that was not appropriate for that particular time. And so therefore, if we find ourselves during Yemos HaChama, during the period of time between Pesach and Sukkos, when in fact we are not supposed to insert the phrase Mashiva Ruach Umorid HaGoshem, says Rabbi Chanina, Hilkach b'yamos hachama, Amar mashiv haruach, if one inserted just the phrase mashiv haruach, ein machzirin oso. Then they could continue on their Shmona Esrei. Amar morid agoshem, but if they inserted a haskara for the power of a Kadosh Baruch Hu of Geshem, so then machzirin oso. Then we do require them to return. B'yamos hageshamim, let's say we are in the period of Yemos HaGeshamim, the time between Sukkos and Pesach, when generally we do insert Mashiv HaRuach, Morid HaGoshem, and Lo Amar Mashiv HaRuach, and an individual does not insert the first half of the phrase of Mashiv HaRuach. Ein Machzirin Oso, we will not require them to return to their original place, to return to the origin, to the beginning of the Shmona Esrei. Lo amar morid hageshem, but if they did not recite morid hageshem during the period of time where we are required to do so, then machzirin oso, then we will return them to that particular place. Rashi explains that if an individual finds themselves during the period of the year where we are not required to recite Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGoshem, and does so anyway, or at least inserts morid hageshem anyway, this is a simen klal. This is a sign of something terrible, because, says Rashi, now is the period of time of the year where we want to have the harvest. And rain at this particular time is something that is not helpful, that does not demonstrate a Kadosh Baruch Hu's guidance of the world towards prosperity, but rather is, to some degree, something that will compromise our ability to reap those fruits. And so therefore, Chozer L'Rosh HaBracha. Therefore, according to Rashi, we return to the beginning of the Bracha, and we have to say the beginning of Shmona Esrei again, without Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGoshem. The Rav Yoh points out that the reason we return to the beginning of the Bracha is because we want to ensure that there is an accurate formulation of Shmona Esrei, with everything that is supposed to be included, and nothing that is not supposed to be included. And therefore, when we talk about going back to the beginning, we could actually return to the phrase of Ata Gibor, and then simply recite from Ata Gibor, now omitting Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGoshem, and that essentially recalibrates our Shmona Esrei back to one that does not have this particular insertion. The Rosh points out that this din is only if you remember before completing the bracha of Mechaye Amesim. But if one completes the bracha of Mechaye Amesim, then you have to go all the way back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei, to Baruch Atah Hashem, because all three brachos in the first part of Shmona Esrei must be grouped together. And so therefore, if you have not completed that unit, so then you can correct the text of that unit, and you could simply return to Ata Gibor. If you have completed that unit, then that entire unit needs to be said once again, and you have to return to the beginning of the Shmona Esrei. The Bach qualifies this halacha, and says that's only true if you completed Mechaye Mesim, and then went ahead and began Ata Kadosh, the next bracha. However, if you land on Mechaye Amesim, and you remember right then and there that you forgot Mashiv HaRuach, and you did not go on to continue the Shmona Esrei, he argues that perhaps one could return only to Ata Gibor, and not recite from the beginning of Avos altogether. The Shulchan Aruch, when it discusses the halacha of what to do when you find yourself inserting Mashiv HaRuach when you should not be, in Siman Kuf Yud Dalid, so the Shulchan Aruch writes that you are Chozer L'Rosh HaBracha. And if you finish the bracha, then if you finish Mechaye Mesim, then you have to be Chozer L'Rosh HaTfilah. Shulchan Aruch does not distinguish between these two scenarios. And so therefore, even though the Prima Gadim argues that this discussion of the Bach perhaps should lead to us being Mekel, because Safek Brachos Lahakel, nevertheless, the Mishneh Berurah in his Bir Halacha seems to paskin that that is not the case, that the Shulchan Aruch's silence on this qualification means that in all scenarios, if you finish Mechaye Mesim, then you have to go all the way back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei. So if you omit Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGoshem, if you remember in the middle of Mechalkel Chaim, so then for sure you can go back to Ata Gibor. If you remember, after the conclusion of Mechayim Esim, then even if you have not yet begun Ata Kadosh, then one would return to the very beginning of Shmona Esrei. The Mishnah Berurah points out not to recite the Psukim of Hashem Sosai Tivtach again, you do not have to do that, but you would begin Shmona Esrei again from the beginning. Shulchan Aruch points out that even if someone is in a situation where, for whatever reason, where you live, it actually would be beneficial to have rain at this particular time of year. Nevertheless, the inclusion of Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem inappropriately into Shmona Esrei tampers with and compromises the integrity of Chazal's formulation of Shmona Esrei. And so therefore, one is required to start from the beginning, even if the sentiment may not conflict fundamentally with what it is that people necessarily want. And this really has to do with the whole notion of our tefillos, even though there's, as we have spoken about before, even though obviously there is a personal dynamic to tefillah that is very core to the whole essence of our kavana and to the whole essence of our connection to tefillah as a vehicle for avodas Hashem, but there is also a structure and a framework to tefillah. And once Chazal have been misaking that the formulation has to occur in a particular way, so then that is the way it needs to be formulated. Says the Gemara, if you're finding yourself in a period of time that we are required to say Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem, and we omit Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem, so where can it be reinserted? So there's a Machlokas Rishonim, can you reinsert the Mashiv Aruach? Does it have to be only where it is currently positioned? So if you remember in the middle of Mechalkel Chaim that you did not recite Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem, so you would have to go all the way back to Ata Gibor or say Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem Mechalkel Chaim B'chesed, or perhaps you can insert it wherever you are, because, suggests the Rosh, that the takana was to insert Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem. But where, in particular, within that paragraph, that wasn't part of the core takana, and therefore we have a preference of where it was legislated, but if you did not insert it in that particular place, you can do so later. However, all agree that if you finish the bracha, if you finish the whole section of Mechalkel Chaim, so if you reach before Mechayim Esim, after V'neman Ata Lachayos Meisim, then you remember, so then you could insert right then and there, Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem, but then, says the Mishnah Berurah, you would repeat V'neman Ata Lachayos Meisim, so that you could have the Chasima in juxtaposition to the ending of the bracha. If you complete that bracha, and you have not recited Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem, then you would begin Shmona Esrei once again. There is a discussion as to whether or not we could include Mashiv Aruach when it is omitted, in the context of Shomea Tefillah. We know that Shomea Tefillah is one of the brachos of Shmona Esrei that is open for insertions of really anything, any particular thing that somebody would want to daven for. And in fact, the Gemara says that if one forgets the same Talumotar, that one could insert that phrase in the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. So it's a machlokas between the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi suggests that if you forget Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem, that could also be inserted in Shomea Tefillah. After all, Shomea Tefillah is a blank piece of paper that allows us to mention anything we want to. And so therefore, we can ensure that our Shmona Esrei includes this Hazkara in that context. The Talmud Bavli is of the opinion that there is a split. The same Talamatu Livracha can be inserted in Shomea Tefillah, but Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem cannot. Since the same Talamatu Livracha is a tefillah for rain, it's a bakasha for rain, so it's appropriate to insert it in another bracha that is also in the world of bakasha. But Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem, that's not a bakasha for rain, as we've been mentioning. That is a haskara for rain. That is mentioning and affirming a Kadosh Baruch Hu's role in rain. And that's not the role of the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. That section of Shmona Esrei is reserved for bakashos. And so each section of Shmona Esrei needs to preserve the integrity of its intent in terms of what Chazal intended for it to be. And therefore, one could not insert Mashiv Aruach Moreh Negashem in the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. You'd have to begin the bracha once again, the Shmona Esrei once again. Continues the Gemara, V'lo Od, and not only that, Says Rav Chanina, El afilu omar mabir ruach mafriach atal, even if a person says, they insert in their Shmona Esrei, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is one who removes, who's mavir ruach, he removes wind, umafriach atal, and he spreads out or spreads away the dew, ein machzirin oso, he does not have to return to the beginning of Shmona Esrei, because since these things always occur, they always happen, inserting a tefillah that is simply nonsensical and a contradiction to the existence of the world has no bearing on creating a challenge to the authenticity of that tefillah. Tana, says the Gemara, we learned in a brisa, v'avimuviruchos lo chayvu chachamim lahazkir, that when it comes to avim, clouds, uviruchos, and wind, lo chayvu chachamim lahazkir. Chachamim did not obligate us to include that in Shmona Esrei. V'imbo lahazkir, but if you want to mention it in Shmona Esrei, maskir, you could go ahead and mention it. My taima, what's the reason? Mishum de lo ma'atzrei, because since these things never cease, they never stop, therefore, they do not have to be included. The lo ma'atzru, says the Gemara, the lo ma'atzri, is it true that they are never, that they never stop? V'hotani, but we learned, Rav Yosef taught, V'atzar es ha-shamayim, that when the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stop the heavens, will hold back in the heavens, min ha-avim u-min ha-ruchos. Presumably, what's the heavens? That refers to the things that are in the heavens, the clouds and the winds. So says the Gemara, Ata omer mina avim mina ruchos. You think it means, they think the pasuk's ambiguity of what's being stopped should be interpreted as the wind and the clouds. O eno elo mina matar. Maybe it refers to the more logical possibility that it refers to rain itself. So says the Gemara, kishu omer v'lo yeh matar, in the latter part of that pasuk, when the Torah is admonishing, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is admonishing the Jewish people, and he says, v'lo yeh matar, they're not going to have rain, hare matar omer, we've already established that holding back rain is part of this punishment. So what could the pasuk mean when it says that he's going to stop what is in the heavens? That must mean mina avim mina ruchos. That must mean that it's referring to clouds and to winds. So says the Gemara, kasha ruchos aruchos, kasha avim aavim. So we have a stira between these two brisos. One seems to assume that ruach and avim are constant and are always there, and the other, now that we've reinterpreted the ambiguous phrase of Otzar Sashamayim as referring to Avim and Ruchos, seems to say that it's dependent on our behavior, on how we comport ourselves relative to the expectations of the Ribbono Shalom. And if we do not do the right thing, Kadosh Baruch Hu will stop these things. So which is it? Are Avim and Ruchos subject to divine intervention, or are they just one of those elements of the world that are always dependable to be constant? Says the Gemara, Avim ha-avim lo kasha, that there is no kasha in terms of the clouds. Why? Ha-becharfi, ha-be'afli, because one refers to clouds that come before it rains, and one refers to clouds that come after it rains. Clouds that come before it rains are always there, but clouds that come after the rain are not necessarily always there. And so those would probably be dependent on the behavior of Klal Yisrael. Those are a different type of cloud. Ruach aruchos lo kasha, and the two brisos contradicting each other about the nature of ruach, of wind, is also not a question. Habaruach mitsuya, because the brisa that says that winds never stop, that refers to the normative winds of the world that are necessary in order for the world to exist. Bahabaruach she'enu mitsuya, the brisa that seems to say that wind is something that has to be earned by Klal Yisrael. So that's referring to Ruach She'enu Metsuya. And those are winds that are not standard winds. They are introduced into the world for other purposes. Says the Gemara, Ruach She'enu Metsuya Chazia Leveidare. No, that's not true, asks the Gemara. There are elements of our life that require, that demand the presence of a Ruach She'enu Metsuya. So that can't be a wind that is dependent on our behavior, says the Gemara, because, for example, we need the Ruach She'enu Metsuya in order to separate the grain from the chaff when we are working through the process of creating bread. So says the Gemara, no, Efsher bin Samvasa, binaf Vasa. It's possible we can accomplish the same thing without a ruach sheina metsuya. We could do it with a sieve. And so therefore, a ruach sheina metsuya is not necessary for the world's functioning, and therefore it could be contingent on the behavior of Klal Yisrael, and it is the subject of that brisa that we quote in the name of Rav Yosef. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in another brisa, Avim ve'aruchos shnios lamatar, that Avim and Ruchos, clouds and winds, are shnios lamatar. They're just second to rain in terms of how critical they are. Says the Gemara, Hechi Dami, what are we talking about here? Says the Gemara, Hechi Dami. What is the situation where we say that Avim and Ruchos are Shnios Lamatar? Omar Ula v'itema Rabbi Yehuda. Says Ula, and some say it was Rabbi Yehuda, the Basar Mitra, that it refers to Ruchos and Avim that come after the rain. So then the Gemara says, L'meimra d'mal Yusahi. Are you trying to tell me that wind and clouds that come after rain are something that is advantageous? V'aksiv, but it says in the pasuk, Yitein Hashem es mitar artzecha avok v'afar, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will make the rain of your land avok v'afar. He will make it dust and dirt. V'amar ulo b'item Rabbi Huda zika debasar mitra, that this refers to wind that comes after it rains, because this type of wind does damage. How does it do damage? Because it picks dirt up that then sticks to the crops that are wet, and as a result, it is a damaging type of wind. So it seems that wind that comes after rain is something that is very negative. That's a stira to the statement that we had from Ula v'itema Rabbi Yehuda, that rain that is, that the Braisa, when it says that rain, that Ruchos and Avim are very positive, has to do with wind that comes after rain. So the Gemara says, no, lo kasha. This is not a contradiction. Ha da'asa nicha, ha da'asa razia. One is a situation that is talking about where the wind is gentle, the ha da'asa razia, and one is where it comes very forcefully. Ha da'malya avak, because one type of wind is the type of wind that raises up the dirt and therefore is negative when it follows the rain. Hadalom al Yavak, and one is talking about wind that does not raise up the dirt, Dalom al Yavak, and as a result, it's positive. The wind that is described as being after rain as positive by Ula v'Tamer Rabbi Yehuda in interpreting the Braisa, that's talking about wind that is more calm. The wind that comes instead of the rain or after the rain that is described by the Braisa earlier, that is talking about wind that falls, that blows more forcefully, and as a result, it's more challenging. Says the Gemara, Ve'omar Rabbi Yehuda zika debasar mitra kemitra, that wind that comes after rain is as positive as the rain itself. Eva debasar mitra kemitra, and clouds that come after rain are also as good as rain. Shimsha debasar mitra, ketre mitri, and sunlight that comes after rain is also as beneficial as tre mitri, as two rains. L'me'ute mai, what does this come to exclude? Says the Gemara, since we've already established that things that happen that follow rain are generally positive. So what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to exclude when he makes these statements? Limute mai, limute gilhi delelia. He comes to exclude light that occurs more at night. Vishimsha deveni karche, and sunlight that appears bene karche, which literally means between bald parts, which is between the clouds.